The Bible says that with God, some things are possible. Oh, it's quiet in this church. Come on. All things are possible. Amen. Not just the some things, but all things are possible. There is nothing our God can't do. And the Bible tells us greater is He that is in you. 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 Let me say it again. Greater is He that is in you than he who is in the world. Satan's a defeated foe. How many of you have ever heard people, seems like they magnify the devil. Oh, the devil's doing this, the devil's doing that. They make the devil out to be this 6'5", 300-pound macho man and make God out to be this little tiny guy. But praise God, the table's been turned. God is not some little wimp. He is a conqueror. He is a conqueror. And because Jesus is a conqueror, and we are more than conquerors. You've all heard the story where back in the 1950s, there was a heavyweight title fight. The prize was $50,000. The challenger and the champion went toe-to-toe for 10 rounds. In the 10th round, with about a minute left in the round, the challenger threw a right hook, hit the champion square in the jaw, knocked him out, and became the new heavyweight champion of the world. He came home with a title belt and the prize money for $50,000. He handed his wife the check for $50,000. She became more than a conqueror. She got the money. She didn't have to do a thing, just support her husband. It was him who had to train, who had to persevere, who had to fight for that title. Jesus Christ fought the fight that you and I don't have to fight. Satan is already a defeated foe. The only fight that you and I have is the fight of faith. The fight that says the greater is He who's in me than he who's in the world. The fight that says that I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. The fight that says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do all things. You can do anything God has called you to do. A lot of times when I was a child, I remember my parents saying, Josh, you can do anything that you want to do when you grow up. That is only true to a point. You need to be everything God has called you to be. When I was in school, I expected to go to college, play football, to get a degree in history. I didn't turn out that way. I don't have an NFL contract. I'm not teaching history. When I was 17 years old, I remember going to a national youth retreat, and the minister I'd say, if you feel called to ministry, I want you to come down here. I want to pray for you. And I'm watching hundreds of kids just stream down to the front. Watching all these kids going down forward. I was so happy for them. And I'm watching all of a sudden I hear, go down to the platform. And I ignored it. I had never heard God speak in all my life. I was born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. It wasn't like it was this big, giant voice that, Josh Sully, come down front. It wasn't anything like that. I heard the voice again, go down to the front. I looked at my friend. I said, ha, 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 I'm not going down front. Are you kidding me? I thought it was him playing a joke on me. Then I heard it again, get your butt down to the front. And I knew that it was God. It wasn't out here, but it was something in here that I knew, that I knew, that I knew, that I knew that God was speaking to me. And as I'm walking down to the front of the auditorium, it felt like, and Pastor Sam will even attest to this, it's like when I get behind, I'm very quiet and shy away from the pulpit. I get behind this sacred desk, and it's like I become somebody else. It's like he was saying, every time I go to a church, I always change my name. Today I want to be Smith Wigglesworth, if that's okay. But it's, you know, as I'm walking down front, it seems like a cloak came upon me. And God began to just deal with my heart, began to show me things, began to show me what he wanted me to do. And I am so grateful for that call. I'm so grateful that I didn't have to play football in college. I'm so grateful I didn't decide to go out and do things my way. I don't have to be Frank Sinatra and do it my way. When we do things our way, they don't always work out so well, do they? Relationships don't seem to work out the way we want them to. Finances don't seem to work out the way we want them to. Our kids don't seem to be working out the way we want them to. Sometimes you just want to reach around and grab them by the neck and just strangle them. Oh, don't look at me in that tone. You know it's the truth. But when you do things God's way, it becomes easier. It becomes smoother. There's smooth sailing with God. And when you do things God's way, when you move the way God wants you to move, he'll quicken your steps. He'll brighten your path. He'll make things easier. He'll make things more fluid for you, that when you step out in faith to do what God's called you to do, your faith mixed with his faith makes you a majority. When we do things God's way, God will open doors that no man can open. He'll open doors that no man can shut either. He'll do things for us that will quicken our path, make us more aware, make us more available, the favor of God upon our life. Thank God for God's favor. Thank God for what God's doing here on the earth today. We are coming to a place in history where God is going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Thank God for the Holy Ghost is here right now in our midst, but God is wanting to do a new thing. We are going to see revival breaking out. Not just healings, not just salvations, but we're going to be seeing the miraculous happening. We're going to be seeing people come down to the altar getting saved because they saw somebody get healed. We're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles happen. But the thing we need to realize and understand that these signs, wonders, and miracles will not happen unless you believe that they're going to happen. What does the Bible tell us? And these signs shall follow them that what? Believe. If you don't believe, you're not going to see. Oh, well, seeing is believing. No. You believe, you'll see. You believe, you'll see. I remember speaking in the church in East Moline, Illinois. Brother Sam was there as well for several years. And for some strange reason, I just felt led to have prayer for hearing. And this guy came forward for prayer, and he went, "What?" I said, "I want to pray for your ears." "What?" "I want to pray for your ears." "My beers, I don't drink anymore." And Brother Sam knows who I'm talking about. I'm not going to mention any names here. But, you know, I stepped back, tried to get my composure, because by this time I'm cracking up myself. And I looked down, and I just without thinking, I said, "In the name of Jesus, ear, I command you to open." And all of a sudden, he like looked at me, his eyes got big, and he said, "Why are you yelling?" I said, "What? I'm not yelling." I turned my microphone off. And you could just see his face just get twisted up, and he's like, what? I said, you can hear, can you? He says, yeah. And I said, hallelujah. And when I first called that ear, I'm thinking, Lord, I got to be nuts for calling this. That same night, I had a call for somebody that was having stomach issues. I didn't even have them come down. I said, you know what? You haven't been eating because you've been having some stress in your life. God says, go home, cook a steak, and come back the next day and tell me what happened. Oh, I went back to the hotel room that night. The hotel I stayed in was the world's largest basement. It was the same place that you probably heard the story where I woke up on a Sunday morning in East Wayne, Illinois, and there was a chicken and a rooster strutting its stuff down the hallway at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I said, you got to be kidding me. This place had fleas. This place had roaches. I said, I saved $75 for putting the preacher in the hotel room in the world's largest basement. I said, thank you so much, Pastor. But, you know, even when things happen in life, even when things happen beyond your control, God's still faithful. Now, you probably thought I forgot about that lady with the stomach issues. No, I didn't. She came back the next night for the service. Came up to me during praise and worship. She says, you're not going to believe what happened. I said, what? She goes, I came home, went to the grocery store like you said, went and bought myself a T-bone steak, and I've been eating ever since. I said, praise the Lord. Thank God for the Word. The Word that's as quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word, when it's spoken, is more powerful than all the forces of hell. The word, which is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. When you preach the word, you preach faith. When you preach the word, you preach truth. When you preach the word, signs, wonders, and miracles have to follow the preaching of the word. You can't separate the signs, wonders, and miracles from the Word of God. They're the same thing. God's Word coming out of your mouth is just as powerful as it came out of Jesus' mouth when He spoke it. The Word. God is eternal. His covenant is everlasting. His Word is forever. Remember, the Word of God tells us forever settled in heaven is your Word. His Word is forever, and His promises, they're a surety. Let me say it again. God's eternal. He doesn't change. His covenant is everlasting. When He spoke it, when He said it, He made it good. Just like there was a young lady whose husband died. And she was there at the reading of the will to find out what was going to happen with the will and everything. All of a sudden, the man's cousin walked in and said, uh-uh, everything belongs to me because I'm the next in line. And the woman's crying, thinking she wasn't going to get anything from her husband. All of a sudden, the husband, who was dead, walked in to that courtroom and said, uh-uh, buddy. Let me tell you what I said in that will. Heads began to roll that day. The same thing happened when Jesus died the death of the cross. You and I were in that courtroom. Satan's over here as the prosecuting attorney saying, did you see what so-and-so did? Oh, and he has this long list. How many of you remember the old copy machines that all the pages were connected? And you go like this, and it just... He has a long list of all the things that we did wrong. And he's reading them off one by one. But Jesus walked into the room and said, I died the death of the cross for that person. I died the death of the cross for that man. I died the death of the cross for that woman. It's all under the blood of Jesus. The Bible tells us for every man who is in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things are new. All things have become new. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're not going to be. You already are. You are everything God's made you to be. You are the head, not the tail. You're above, not beneath. You're blessed going in, blessed going out. Everything that you put your hand to do can prosper. God has made you to stand. And when you fall, you can get back up again. When you fall in life, when things seem hard, when things seem impossible, God can turn the impossibilities and make them possible. Now, I want to talk to you this morning simply about forget about it. Forget about it. Now, before we get into the Word, I just want you to go ahead and just haul off and pinch yourself right now. See if you're alive. That's okay. Go ahead and pinch yourself. How many of you, when you pinched yourself, it hurt a little bit? Notice when you pinched yourself, are you still in pain? No. That pain was fleeting. It was only for a short time. Life will throw curveballs at you. Just because you are born again doesn't mean that you're going to be walking along through life on flowery beds of ease. If when you got born again and the pastor told you that you were going to be walking on flowery beds of ease, ha 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 ha, no. You're not going to be walking on flowery beds of ease. Life can be simple for you. Life can be good for you. But there's also going to be times where your life's going to be challenging. You're not exactly going to be liking your spouse the way you liked them the day before. Maybe they did something to you. Maybe they said something about you or said something to you that hurt your feelings. Maybe your kids said something to you. Maybe your employer said something to you. Maybe your coworker said something to you that tried to rob you of your joy. That's life. Life comes and life goes. Just like when you pinched yourself, that pain was only temporary. See, the things we go through in life, they're temporary. They're subject to change. But the things with God, they're eternal. They don't change. When God tells you that He loves you, He loves you. We sang it this morning. Oh, how He loves us. God loves you so much that He sent His Son to die the death of the cross so that you can live. You are more alive today than you were 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 70 years ago. You are more alive today, right now, than you ever were. Why is that? Because you became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Your spirit, man, became recreated. Not like it didn't become refurbished where, oh, you changed the padding a little bit. You took off the old fabric on the, like your piece of furniture, like your couch or a chair. You took off the old fabric and put on new fabric. Oh, God changed you from the inside out. He changed your spirit, man. Now, your mind, which is your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, that needs renewed every day. How many of you, ever driving down the road, ever had a bad thought about the driver in front of you? Oh, yeah. You know, I got to thinking about this. And the Bible says, over in Mark, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall ascend to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, he'll have what he says. Now think about this. Now, if you had the full 100% faith of God, and you were aggravated at that car in front of you, and you could be blowing people off the highway. Get off the road. All of a sudden, and you're driving along with a smile on your face. And no. We have the faith of God in the measure. But the faith he's given us. Man, we could speak to a mountain. We could speak to sickness and disease. We could speak to storms. We could speak to problems. We could speak to stress. We could speak to anything that you think of that doesn't belong to you, that isn't of God. You can speak to it. Man, that thing moves and has to be cast into the sea. It has to obey you. But you got to speak to it. And you're probably thinking, well, I've been speaking for 40 years. I've been speaking for 50 years. Keep speaking. Who told you you had to stop? You keep going. You keep going until you hit victory. It's like on the football field. I play both offensively and defensively. And when I was on offense, my goal as an offensive tackle, and I played on the strong side of the quarterback, which means if he was right-handed, I would be on the left-hand side. If he was like this, I would be on the right-hand side. Depends on who was the quarterback. And my job was to keep the defensive end and a linebacker from coming in and stomping them into the ground. Now, I could, you know, get down the line, get in a three-point stance, and just say, all of a sudden, that quarterback would get killed. But my job was to hold my ground and stand my ground, get into a position where he can't get around me, he can't get through me, he may try to get over me, he try to get underneath me, but I'm going to do everything I can to try to keep him from getting to the quarterback. Satan is doing everything he can to try to get to you. He'll use people, he'll use circumstances, he'll use fear, who use anything you can think of to try to rob you of your joy, to try to rob you of your peace, to try to rob you of your sanity. You know, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean there's never going to be a day where you're going to not want to pull your hair out. I've been there. I've been through places in my life where it just seemed like everything around me was falling apart. I've been in places where I had plenty, and I've been in places where I barely had anything. I remember, and you've heard the story where when I was going to Bible college, all I had left was a package of ramen noodles. Now, everybody has that story. Well, with this story, all I had was one package left. I cooked it. I prayed over it. I said, Father, I thank you. You supply my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Not only do you supply me spiritually, you supply me physically, you supply me emotionally, you supply me financially. And I ate the ramen noodles. All ramen noodles are is nothing but styrofoam, salt, and water. I cooked it. I ate it. That was the last package I had. All I had left was coffee and sugar cubes. Thank God for sugar cubes. I survived the week on them. Now, with the ramen noodles, I went to bed that night, woke up, had my cup of coffee in the morning, went to school, came home, got changed, went and exercised, went and did whatever I had to do. I came home, and I'm a guy. First thing I do is when I come home after working out or doing something is I'm hungry. I went to the cupboard, and I put my hand on the knob of that cupboard, and I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. There's no food in there. I opened it up. There was a package of ramen noodles in there. I said, well, praise God. Maybe I missed it. I cooked it, same thing. Went to school the next day, came home, opened up the cupboard without thinking. There was a package of ramen noodles in there. This happened for 4 days. Day five, I woke up. I said, Lord, I know you're going to supply me with ramen noodles, but can I have a steak or something? I mean, I'm not trying to be pushy or anything. And I was being honest here. You can't survive on ramen noodles. Man shall not live on ramen noodles alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So I said, you know, so I mean, at this time I was joking too with the Lord, but the Lord knows the desires of your heart. So I went to school, came home, and all of a sudden I heard, hey Dingley, why don't you go to your mailbox? And so I'm thinking, I didn't even get junk mail. Those of you that complain about junk mail, send it to me. I didn't even get junk mail when I was in Bible college. So I went to the mailbox, and I had to clear away the cobwebs and knock out the spider was in there and the moths. And in the back was a little tiny envelope with a two-page note with a check for $750. I got myself a steak. Hallelujah. And no more ramen noodles. It's been 15 years since I graduated and haven't had them since. Now, the point is you're going to go through troubles and trials. You're going to go through hard places. Just because you're a believer, just because you're a Christian, doesn't mean that things are going to be rocking and rolling in your life. And you're going to go through rotten places, you know? And life itself will throw things across your path, try to knock you off your feet. And how many of you, not only has stuff happened to you once, it's happened to you time and time again. Whether the bumps and the bruises, aches, the pains are spiritual, emotional, physical, relational, or financial, they can come and go quickly, or they can last and last and last and last and last and last. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're exempt from trouble. Trouble's going to come your way. Trouble's going to come with a nice, pretty little bow on it. It's going to have a nice powder blue box. It's going to say Tiffany on it. When the devil sends you a package from Tiffany, you can say, you can keep your package. I don't need it. But it's Tiffany's. There could be crystal in there. There could be this, that, and the other thing. Well, whoop-de-doopy. The devil wants to try to knock you off your feet. He wants to try to rob you of your joy. He wants to try to rob you of your peace. He wants to try to rob you of everything that God has provided for you. And he wants to knock you off your feet, stomp you into the ground, so that not only are you beneath the barrel, but the barrel's on top of you. And I've been there. I've been in hard places. A few years ago, because of stupidity, I found myself in a couple thousand dollars worth of debt. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm a child of God. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. Poverty doesn't belong to me. And you know what God did? I'm debt free. For whom the Son has set free is free indeed. If Jesus Christ can free you of debt, he can free you of sickness and disease. He can free you from fear. He can free you from torment. He can free you from discord and discouragement. He can free you from anything that you can think of underneath the sun. He can free you from it. You are a child of God. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. You are a world overcomer. You are an heir of God. You are a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Everything that God has, it's yours. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It belongs to you. All the gold and the silver on the earth is His. All the oil on the earth belongs to Him. Do you realize that we have more oil in this country than we do in the Middle East? Right now, in the area of where Montana, North Dakota, and South Dakota is, there's a pocket of oil waiting to be tapped. But because, we can't hurt the environment, then we got to show all this money to Saudi Arabia. God knows them from the beginning. He created the earth. He created the earth for us. The earth was created for you and I so that we can stand our ground. God knew what was going to happen. We have more than enough resources here in this country that we don't have to go out to other countries. The Bible says, and the Bible calls us to be lenders and not borrowers. Let them come to us. Let them come to the church. The church has more than enough resources to reach the world, to meet the world's needs. People were complaining about a certain minister down in Houston, Texas, saying, he didn't open his doors, blah, blah, this, that, and everything. His doors were open. But according to Houston, Texas, and in Texas, there are certain laws that have to be met and certain things that have to take place for you to become a shelter. It's not that he didn't want to open his doors. It was the fact he was being barred from doing it. When he had those needs met, then the doors were open. People are jealous of the body of Christ. They're jealous because His hand is blessing us. God's hand of abundance, God's hand of peace, God's hand of mercy is on the church. And people want what we got. So they're going to talk us down. They're going to say evil things about us, saying that we're this, that we're that, and the other thing. All the things that people say about you, if they're untrue, they may be even true. Let it roll off you like water off a duck's back. Forget about it. Forget about what the enemy is trying to do. The enemy is trying to discredit you, trying to rob you of your peace, trying to rob you of your joy, trying to rob you of the things that God has for you. God wants you to be blessed so you can be a blessing. There's nothing wrong with money, as long as the money doesn't have you. So, what does the Bible tell you regarding money in Matthew? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that you give, it's going to come back to you. So think about this. The tithe, according to the Old Testament, now Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek. Notice that Abraham was before the tithe. Abraham was before the old covenant. Now, he gave a tenth of all that he received from that battle. Now, if you give 10% to God, what do you got left? I failed math class my senior. You get 90% back. God, your source. How can you not live on what God provides you with? God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to prosper in life. He wants you so blessed that you can be a blessing to other people. He wants you so blessed that people come to you You are a lender and you're not a borrower. You're above only and you're not beneath. Now, this message isn't about prosperity, but it encompasses everything God has for us. God wants us to live a life of victory. But we need to forget about things that are unimportant. We need to forget about things that are unnecessary. We need to forget about the past and what the past did. What happened then? That was then. This is now. Then faith was. No. Now faith is. Now. Faith is now. Hope is now. God is now. He's a now God. When Moses was on the mountain, and then in the burning bush, and Moses said, "Whom shall I say sent me?" What did the Lord tell him? "I am that I am." Notice he didn't say, "I was that I was," or "I will be that I will be." He's a now God. He's a present God. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. And there's someone out there who hates you. The enemy hates you. I don't know if you realize that or not. I've been saved for a little over 30 years. And I've come to just realize that the devil hates me. He's not my best friend. He wants to kill me. The Bible says that he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have and enjoy life until it overflows." That's the abundant life that God has for us, that overflowing life, that when we walk down the paths of life, that we can walk in victory. No matter what comes at us from every side, we can walk in victory. If you have your Bibles this morning, I figure since we're in church, we might as well get into the Word. Amen. Go ahead and turn with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Not only are you in a church building, but let me correct myself by saying this. You are the church. You're not just in a church, but you are the church. And the devil hates you. The devil doesn't like you. He wants to steal from you. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. And over in John chapter 16, Jesus speaking here, and he said, "These things I have spoken to you, that me, you may have hard places in life." No, he said, "These things I have spoken to you," John 16, verse 33. "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But, God always has a way of escape. But, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus said that we would go through difficulties in life. But notice too where he said to put our trust. He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." He said, "In me you'll have peace." Jesus is the only way for you to get peace. He's the only way for you to put your confidence in when everything around you is falling apart. When it seems like all of hell is coming at you and crashing on you, Jesus is your peace giver. And he'll make a way of escape. He'll make a way of escape. Oh, praise God. The water just returned. It's actually up to here now. "But me, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. You will have tests and trials. You will have hard places in life. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." How many of you know who Bobby McFerrin is? "Don't Worry, Be Happy." That was his number one song. "Don't Worry, Be Happy." "Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the testing or the trying of your faith produces patience." but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, or complete, wanting or lacking nothing. You may be going through hell right now, but don't stop. You may be going through hell, but you don't have to park there. You may be going through the worst hell in your life, but you can go through to the other side victorious. Jesus was with his disciples, and he said, let us go over to the other side. And as they're in the midst of the sea, the waves began to crash on the boat, and the boat began to fill up with water and sink. Jesus is sound asleep. And the disciples shake him, wake him up, and say, Jesus, don't you care that we're going to drown? Why are you guys so afraid? Oh. Peace be still. And what happened? The waves were still crashing on the boat? No, there was a great calm on that sea. And they went on over to the other side. Jesus didn't tell you to go out in life and drown. He didn't tell you to go through life and falter and fall apart. Yeah, there's going to be times where you're going to fall apart. There's going to be times where you're going to have every opportunity to fail. There's going to be times where you're going to have every opportunity to quit and give up. But don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Your faith will see you through. When the pressures of life come, instead of immediately attacking them with the Word of God, we limp along through life. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've done that, maybe. We limp along through life, hoping that these issues would magically disappear. We say, oh, if I get a full night's sleep, all my problems will be gone. Oh, if I just have another piece of pie, all my problems will disappear. It won't make any difference how much sleep you get or how much pie you're eating. You're still going to have problems. You're going to still have troubles. You're going to still have hard places and tests and trials. We've got to realize and understand that God has done everything He is ever going to do for you and I. He's done it all. He's finished the work. Jesus is up in heaven right now, wringing his hands, saying, Oh me, what am I going to do? Oh, woe is me. Father, did you see what's going down there with those people at Living Manna Four Square Church? Did you see all their problems? Did you see all their things that they're going through? What are we ever going to do? Oh, we better call the angels to come. Maybe they can do something. No, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is seated in heavenly places. And he's ever seated that make intercession for you and I. If he's seated, where's Jesus seated at? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. The Bible says that we too are seated together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Where does that put us? At the right hand of the Father. So, we're seated together with him. We don't have to bombard the gates of heaven. We don't have to crawl on our hands and knees begging and pleading God to do something. If you ever heard the story about Martin Luther, Martin Luther will crawl up on stairs on glass, shards of glass, praying in penance, begging and pleading God to do something. And all of a sudden, Martin Luther heard these words, "The just shall live by faith." By faith. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God's not worried. If he's not worried, why are we worried? Why are we concerned? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. This is Philippians chapter 4. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep or guard your hearts and your minds towards Christ Jesus. And then he lists things to think on. Think on the things that are good. Think on the things that are honest. Think on the things that are lovely. Think on the things that are of good report. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy. Think on these things. Don't worry. Be happy. Is life easy? No, not always. If I could be up here, or Pastor Sam could be up here every single week telling you that life is easy, we would be doing you a disservice. But if I were to get up here and tell you, you're going to go through life. How many of you have gray hairs? How many of your kids have given you gray hairs? It was a joy. We'll lay hands on you suddenly, brother. But pressures come. Tests come. It makes us stressed out. But be of good cheer. Ha, ha, ha. I'm going through a trial. Ha, ha, ha. I'm going through it. I'm not stopping it. I'm going through. I'm going through to the other side. I don't have to be the same man I once was. I don't have to be the old man. The old man is dead and gone. The past is gone. Forget about the past. Forget about what happened. Forget about all those things that happened to you. You are not a victim. So get rid of the victim mentality. You are a victor. Victory is yours. Victory belongs to you. Victory belongs to you. Victory is yours on every wave. Amen. How many of you gentlemen, maybe even some of you ladies, have ever been in a scrap a time or two? You don't have to raise your hand. We all know who you are. But I remember a couple times where we're just wailing on each other. And somebody comes out with a busted eye, a black eye. Somebody's got a bloody nose. Somebody's got a bloody lip. Somebody's knuckles may be broken. But if you take care of yourself after the fight and treat yourself, your injuries aren't going to seem as bad as they really are. But if you let things go, you're going to look like you lost the fight. You maybe even have won the fight, but you look like you lost. Between Rocky I and the second fight in Rocky II, they're in the hospital, Rocky and Apollo Creed. And Rocky wakes up. He has external injuries. He's got internal injuries. He gets up, hobbles to Apollo Creed's room, and says, "Yo, Apollo, did you give me your best?" He's like, "What?" He barely awake. He says, "Yeah, I gave you my best." Rock, if you ever saw the first fight, Rocky and Apollo went toe to toe. Rocky kept coming and kept coming. And kept coming, kept getting his brains beat, but he kept coming. It's the same thing in life. Life's going to keep coming at you. Life's going to keep pounding on you. But it's how you respond to life that will determine your altitude. We are so externally focused that we look this way and this way, but when we look this way, blinders get put on. Those of you who have horses, whoever have ridden horses, know that when a horse is wearing blinders, it means he only sees what's in front of him. He doesn't see what's out here. When we become God inside minded, when we become God focused, all of the things out here, they disappear. And our focus is on him. With God, you become a majority. And the same thing regarding physical injuries could be the same thing that happens with spiritual injuries. How many of you have ever faced a spiritual battle before? when we are pressed on every side, it will make our spirits battered, bruised, and brittle. It's what you do after the fight that will determine your outcome. You can choose to allow the ministry of the Holy Spirit to heal you, or you could walk around with your head down and you can refuse to get back up again. Let me say this, the healing of a battered and bruised spirit doesn't come easily. I wish it did. I wish I had a surefire answer to say, you do this, and all your problems will just magically go away. I wish I had some dust and go, bye-bye, problems. No, I don't. All I have is this. But the back of the book says we win. The front of the book says we win. The middle of the book says we win. You want to know how to get through a jam? You want to know how to get through a problem? You got to get in here. This is God speaking to you and I. This is God's answer for the world. This is God's answer for all the problems in life. This is God's answer when things around us are falling apart. This is God's answer for Hurricane Harvey. This is God's answer for all the problems going on in our country. You want to know how to get through a test? You want to know how to get through a trial? So many times we have our Bible sitting on the coffee table collecting dust. Pastor Sam shows up at our door, and we're like, he comes in and says, oh, I see you've been reading your Bible. No. But those of you that know Pastor Sam, know how God, the Lord uses them. God can tell off on you. So, get into the Word. I'm not saying that Pastor Sam's going to show up at your house this afternoon. Joyce at 2:35, be prepared. But when problems come, when tests come, we should be so full of this that when the pressures and the storms of life come, it puts the squeeze on us. How many of you have ever washed your car by hand before? When you put a dry sponge in water and you put that sponge in water, what happens? It absorbs the water. And what happens when you squeeze that sponge? Water comes out. You should be so full of the Word of God that when the storms of life come, when the pressures of life come, when the circumstances of life come, and put the squeeze on you, that nothing but the words should come out of your mouth. And when we're going through tests and trials and storms, and if we don't do anything about it, our battered and bruised spirits get even more brittle. Things begin to happen, and we begin to think, oh, nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. It's been 2 weeks and my pastor hasn't called me. Nobody has done anything for me. I'm just a worm. I'm just poor old me. Oh me, oh my. I'm just so tired. I give up. And then we get out of church for months and years and whatever, and we think that we're a failure in life. You are not a failure. You are a success in life. And it's God who wants to do a work in you that no matter what comes at you, no matter how good you are or how bad you are, no matter what you did in life to get you where you're at, God has a way of escape for you. God will make a way of escape. You're going through a storm. All of a sudden, God parts the seas and you walk on dry ground. And the reason why things happen, the reason why we get so depressed and so knocked down all the time is instead of putting these past hurts and these past failures and these past things behind us, we keep rehashing them and rehashing them and rehashing them. and rehashing. How many of you know somebody who was offended 50 years ago by somebody, and they remember it just like it was yesterday? It was 50 years ago. Let it go. Whoever offended you is probably not alive anymore. But you're making their memory still living like it was yesterday. How many of you have grandchildren? How many of you have ever seen the movie Frozen? Let it go, let it go. Just let it go. Forget about it. Forget about the past. Forget about your failures. Let go of those things. Leave them at the altar. We used to sing a song years ago. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. But what are we doing? We're leaving them at the altar. We feel good about ourselves. And we, before we go back to our seat, we pick up our burdens. And we go back to our seats. Go back the same way we came. When you come into a church, you should go in one way and leave this place completely changed. Don't leave here changed because I'm simply preaching. Leave here changed because the word is true. Leave here changed because God is good. Leave here changed because His word is forever settled in heaven. Leave here changed because the word of God says that you can be changed from the inside out. Smith Wigglesworth once said that I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. You should be so God inside minded that when storms come, when pressures of life comes, that you can just walk on through in victory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, do I give this now or hold off on it for a bit? Yeah, let's do that now. Now, as I was preaching and speaking this morning, you know, even before, you know, as I was driving here this morning, there's a couple of you here this morning that you're going through some real rough patches right now. I'm not going to point out what they are because I don't know them, but God wants you to know that He loves you. God wants you to know that you are valuable. God wants you to know that there is something of worth and value about you. And you've had all these pressures, all these storms keep beating on you, beating on you, beating on you, beating on you. You feel like you're a punching bag. You feel like that your life can't get any better and it can't get any worse than it already is. There's been several times that you felt like giving up. You felt like just turning your back on God. But God wants you to know this morning that you're valuable. You're valuable to the kingdom. So don't let the devil, don't let the devil rob you of what God had begun to do a work in you. He who began to do a work in you will complete it. God wants to complete something in you this morning. And if that's you this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, and you could say, Josh, that's me to a T. I'm not exactly living the life I should be living. I wear a mask in church, and as soon as I get in my car, I take my mask off, and all gloves are off. If that's you this morning, I want you to raise your hand. Anybody else? You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Say, Josh, I want to make a change in my life. I want to make a change now in my life. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand. Raise it high so I can see it. I want you to know that God's for you. I want you to know that I'm for you. I want you to know that God has a perfect plan for your life, that no matter what hell you've been going through, no matter what you've been saying, no matter what you've been doing, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Anybody else? Say, Josh, you just described me to a T. Don't be ashamed. Don't be intimidated. But I'll even make this easier for you. On the count of three, if you want prayer and you say, Josh, I want you to pray for me. On the count of three, not only do I want you to raise your hand, but I want you to get out of your seat on the count of three. And I want you to come down. Let's get this settled. Don't leave here the same way you came in. On the count of three. Are you ready? One. Two. Come on. Three. That's you. Come on. Come on. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Anybody else? On the count of three, you say, Josh, I want you to pray for me.